Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America and English.
Oh, what a strike, Club America!
Your hosts for today are Ivan Pineda, Cristian Rosendo, Alexis Juarez, and everyone's favorite cowboy, Dylan Jimenez.
Go!
Now let's hit the field and start the show.
America!
And welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today we're going to have plenty and plenty to recap today, as we're going to be talking Champions League. We're going to be talking Doble Jornada. We're going to be recapping the Atlas game. We got so much to talk about. Transfer updates, Guapa news, everything in between that you could ever think of. We got you guys covered today on today's episode. And yeah, should be a jam-packed episode, but something tells me it's going to be a good one. And joining me today, as always, to help me cover all of this is none other than Brooklyn's very own AJ. AJ, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. If I look right, yeah, I got a tan. Went outside during work today. Got to watch the America Feminine match. So, you know, I'm happy. Feeling good. And, hey, we're undefeated so far in the season. So, that's a good thing.
Undefeated. Yep. As the title says, undefeated ways. We'll be talking about that. And we'll be talking about Solari's, you know, quote unquote, perfect record to the start of the season in just a bit. And joining us today, AJ, is a returning guest, someone that is always welcome to the podcast and someone who definitely knows his ins and outs of Americas. It is none other than my very own twin, Mr. Ivan Hernandez. Ivan, how are you?
What's going on, gentlemen? Happy to be back. Pretty early on in the season for the first time. Usually y'all get me kind of in the middle, but we're here early, so I have to be a good luck charm for the rest of the season. And I got to point out, Americas is the only team doing really well right now for me. Everyone else is kind of just causing me stress, but that's another topic.
And it is, who knows, maybe they will intertwine in this episode. But yeah, like you guys mentioned, America so far on a pretty good roll and a pretty good run. Not to say that it's been the best football displayed, AJ, but results are coming their way. And I think that's the most important thing, especially at the start of the season, right? We don't necessarily always need the most perfect football, but we do need results, especially seeing as how the schedule is going for America. We know that, you know, the latter half of the season is going to be where things start picking up and where things are going to be a little bit more, you know, difficult in quotations for America. But again, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But we just want to say thank you to everyone that's out here already in the chat. We have AP Jr. saying hello. And we have Chris saying saludos desde Anaheim, California. What is up, Chris? He said, Jacob saying, imagine if Layún would have scored that goal. And we'll get to that in just a second. That was quite the run that he was having himself against Atlas. And Chris is saying, 2 weeks in a row we say that. Yeah, definitely 2 weeks in a row that we continue to say that America not playing so well, but they are getting the results. And well, let's start a little bit where we left off last episode, AJ. Obviously the big one was the talk of CONCACAF Champions League, right? America had it to host Philadelphia Union in what we expected to be a pretty tough matchup, even though we had home field advantage, and it definitely did not disappoint, at least from my perspective. What's your one takeaway from this game against Philadelphia Union, AJ?
Hey, we got a good lead going into that second leg, which is always good, to see. It's like America, we're definitely taking advantage of it. As soon as we're at home field advantage, we just knew what we had to do. We get the job done, get the result that we need in order for the second leg. So it seems like the boys just know what they had to do from the get-go. While it did seem that we could have definitely done more, I guess it's Philadelphia Union side. Just all in all, I'm happy with the result and can't wait to see what else we do away in the second leg.
Right, and that away leg is still, you know, far as out from here. And you know, we have another month to think about the Philadelphia Union. But Ivan, for you, what's your one takeaway from this game against the Philadelphia Union after a 2-0 victory in the Estadio Azteca?
Takeaways on the positive, I think I had maybe more negative than perception than AJ. On the positive end, I think, you know, at the end of the day, like he said, it won the game. Clean sheet, that's always good. No away goals. But I felt like America could have did more. I think that the way that Philadelphia played was pretty poorly, and it was us that kept them in the game. So that's a little concerning. There was a lot of things that defensively that I personally didn't like that, again, kept them in the game. They really didn't create chances. And then when they got to the within the 18, it's kind of like we didn't step or didn't rotate, and that kind of gave them more chances than I think they deserved.
Definitely. And you know, one thing that I do want to take away from this is this game could have completely been a different story. Philadelphia Union actually gets the first good chance of the match, right? I think one of their forwards gets into a promising position. He kind of tries to do something fancy with it. And then we see right here, this highlight right here, where this man had a shot in front of Ochoa and kind of just gives it to him. So Philadelphia had their chances, right? And if they were convert one or two of those shots, then this game is completely a different story, right? Like you mentioned, I think America gets a little bit fortunate sometimes when, you know, Philadelphia Union try to get things going and don't really pan out. And again, our defense being shaky, continuously being shaky in this match. Talk about the Atlas game, which I think we were a little bit more, I want to say, stable in the second half. But overall, this defense still gives us a lot to worry about in regards to whether or not this is a championship side defense. Now, I don't know about you, AJ, but, you know, a 2-0 advantage seems not only just favorable, but it seems like we could have amplified it by a couple of more goals. Do you think that might hurt us in the long run?
It's hard to predict that because we really don't know how that second game is going to be. But if you had more than two goals being scored in this match, then absolutely, yeah, it could be different. But depends just how we're playing it out in the cycle. I mean, you can never go wrong with the 2-0 lead. So it's good for me to say the least.
Definitely. And we have Chris saying, El Dentista Mauro Lines. What did you guys what do you guys take on that? That was, I don't think I've ever seen that in my life.
I've seen that a couple of times, and I think, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but initially, I didn't think he hit him that hard. And then in the replay, we see his tooth fly. I'm like, oh, I guess it makes sense. He's on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, Christian had quite some fun live tweeting the match, and he just put a tooth emoji in. So, yeah, you know, he definitely was having a little bit of lulls. But, yeah, again, weird things, a lot of weird things. But let's talk a little bit about Mauro Lines, because I think he is the man of the match in this particular game, right? Completely just bombarding the wings. Whenever we had a corner, he was always on the right-hand side, so the ball found him. And whenever he was in his natural left-wing position, just always seemed to be a step ahead of these, you know, Philadelphia Union defenders. We knew that, you know, their fullbacks struggled in pace. And I think Mauro Lines picked up on that quite easily and saw that he had an avenue to explore. You know, Ivan, you're a little bit more aware of Philadelphia Union, right? You get to see them play a little bit more often than what we usually do. So, you know, what do you think America actually did well in this game against them?
I mean, I think they look to just control the game the way America plays. I think the positives is that America didn't change how they play. You know, you look at the Union, I'm pretty sure they rested some of their key guys in the MLS match leading up to this game, which kind of tells you, you know, they were kind of looking to come and you know, get a result, which, you know, for an MLS team to come to the Azteca with that mindset, kudos to them. But I think America definitely felt like they were at home, played like they were at home. When they were definitely in the flow of rhythm, they definitely looked confident. They looked good. Like you said, Lines had a great game. Cordova, I felt, had a play a very good game. Sanchez had a great game. So I think, yeah, we kind of, you know, did what we normally do well. The ball movement I liked. Again, just for me, a couple of things defensively that I would have preferred didn't happen to really kind of make the 2-0 more, I guess, tasteful for me.
Definitely. But like I think, like you mentioned, AJ, right? 2-0. I think the most important part is that clean sheet going into Philadelphia. That was the most important thing walking away from this, is making sure that we have that advantage going in away to Philadelphia, to make sure that we have no goals conceded at us, meaning that we can play it a little bit more safe and not have to think about, you know, the goal differentials and all that yada yada. So on that end, you know, whilst the defense did have some shaky moments, which I completely agree with you, Ivan, you know, the fortunate thing about it is the fact that, you know, we get the clean sheet, which I think was interesting. I don't know. What was your guys' take? You know, we didn't know whether or not Ochoa was going to start. We thought Jimenez might get the go-ahead after the performance he's been having. But Memo walks in, and by the way, a beautiful gray and white kit. I'm just going to put that out there. Absolutely. Just fire. And I like the fact that America waited until Ochoa played to drop that. Because you could have easily gave it to, you know, Oscar and be like, here you go. Or Renata Mascherelli could have, you know, leaked it. Mm-hmm. And she could have played it in with the ladies. But America was like, no, this is going to be until Ochoa comes back. And so I like that.
So really, if you're Oscar, like, how do you feel?
Salty, yeah. I guess you're right? A little salty,
right? You feel he's having the time of his life. Like, once again, when Ochoa seems to be absent, whether that be either due to injury or just international duty, he always seems to perform really well. But then came the moment Ochoa came out, like, yeah, say hello to the bench again. You ain't probably playing again anytime soon. So,
do you think he's do you think in his case, he's like just trying to outlive the Ochoa era? Like, because he clearly could probably get picked up by another team and like do well, you know?
So I think the thing with Oscar was that he was wanting to leave the season, and I think América would have if there wasn't so much games going on where Ochoa is going to be absent. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know that we have World Cup qualifiers coming up like crazy, right? Yeah, so many matches,
every,
so little time.
Every month you have, what, 3 fixtures?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that, right? So FIFA's trying to catch up, and so we know that Ochoa's going to be gone for these games, and so that means Oscar is gonna have to pick up the, you know, where he left off for Ochoa. And then of course you had the Olympics where he was promised at least 3 games in goal for the league. So I think Oscar's thought about it, said, okay, I have a couple more games that I can stretch out this season, maybe use him as a resume so that next season I can go and, because he could easily be a starter for any team in the league, right? And so I just think that América is holding on to him for this season because they know there's so much games going on. You're most likely going to be missing Memo for a couple of them. So why not have Oscar Jimenez, who's just, an amazing goalkeeper, have him there ready to go. And so, but still, no one wants to see the bench, right? Especially if you're... If you're in your form of your life,
you don't want to think in sad again, you know? Like,
yeah. I think you see it in Oscar's face in the Atlas game where they zoom into like the bench, and he's the only one that doesn't really have a smile on his face.
Yeah, he does not look pleasant. He's like, all
right. Yeah. But I think he understands his role, right? Because
you have to, yeah.
You understand that ahead of you have Ochoa, and that's going to be nearly impossible to do. But even when Ochoa came in, I think in this game, and I think the commentator said it, he looked different. Like there's even in the Atlas game, he's playing with such confidence that I haven't seen in a while. Like, he's stepping in and he just knows, he's like, I'm keeping this clean sheet. And it just feels nice because you saw it. I don't know if you picked up on it, AJ. He was playing a lot more out of his box. He's playing that sweeper keeper role a little bit better than, we know him. Easily playing with his feet with no problems. Distribution was very much on point. So I think he came in, he stepped in and said, you know what? I'm the number one. I just came back. I have an Olympic medal with me. This is my time. And so I'm happy to see him perform the way he did. And I think that was crucial. That memo and that confidence and that leadership in the back, I think, was crucial for that defense not to deteriorate the way that we saw in those little moments, Ivan, where you mentioned, right, the defense... a little bit here and there that I think if we don't have a memo, not to say that Oscar's not capable of leading the line either, but I think it's a little different.
Yeah, but I think for me, what it is is that the mistakes they're making to me are just like novice mistakes. They're correctable. It's just all communication. I think on the highlights that were showing on the screen earlier, it's the first or second chance that Philly gets. It's because the line steps up and Sanchez leaves the player onside, leaves him even.
Yeah.
Things like that is just like focus, awareness, communication. Like, where's your line? Who's pushing up, who's pushing down? Things like that, time and time again, kind of kept happening. And so they're frustrating because they're like, they're like stupid mistakes that if if you're on, you step with your line. If you rotate in, whatever it is, that player, that ball doesn't get slipped. It's called offside each time. And I think for me, that's why... it's something that I kind of continue kind of like picking at, because like that needs to be corrected, because sure, Philly had a pretty bad night like going forward and finishing, but in Liga, you get to like La Liga, you do that against another team, they're going to punish you. You're going to lose that game 4-0. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And those are things that, luckily enough, hopefully Solari's picking up and catching early on in the season, and you can be like, all right, look, we got to fix this. And the one worrying factor, and I saw this a lot on Twitter, is the Jorge Sanchez thing. It feels like he's still playing a little bit with that pressure of form of past seasons, whether it be from the mistake he made in the final or just kind of the pressure that he was lingering on from last season. It just feels like the jersey's a little bit with a bit of weight on it. And so I think he needs to continue to find his stepping. And hopefully he leans on that Olympic gold medal. Not Olympic gold, but Olympic bronze medal. And uses that a little bit to, you know, bolster himself up, you know, get himself a little bit higher in the confidence department, because we need him. He is crucial. He is vital. And I personally still start him over Layún, you know. So we'll have to wait and see. Although I do want to bring something up. Chris is saying his wife lets us know on Twitter, and he's talking about Oscar Jimenez's wife, who is very active whenever her husband is not on the pitch. And so all Americanistas on Twitter know exactly who we're talking about. So, but yeah, America gets gets the lead. And again, it's a month before we go to Philadelphia, which is the weird thing, right? You never really see a Champions League semifinal be split up in a month's time. But I understand why it has to be done, because of money situation, right? Because CONCACAF knows that MLS and Liga MX are trying to make money the next week in the All-Star game. And so they're like, we're not going to try to disrupt that. And they can't do it the following week because, you know, they have
FIFA dates.
Yeah. FIFA dates, yes. World Cup qualifiers. So again, now we're in that 1 month gap, and we'll see what happens. Of course, a lot can change. I mean, look at what just happened within a week, right? We lost Leo Suarez. We'll be out for the remainder of the season. We'll talk a little bit more about that. So again, lots of stuff can happen, and we'll have to wait and see what our team is looking like against Philadelphia. I know, you know, they went through a whole bunch of roster changes as well prior to, say, you know, facing us. They had a big transfer window, and we'll see how their end of the transfer window looks like. So should be an interesting one. But again, America ends up getting a very good cushion going to Philadelphia with a 2-0 advantage. And that pretty much wraps it up. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on down the road once we get closer to Philadelphia. We'll have on some Philadelphia Union experts to come on and talk to us a little bit more about their team, how they're doing, how they feel, and whether or not they have that illusion that they can make the illusional comeback. And we'll talk to them and see as to why we think America is more than capable of seeing this game out. But all right, AJ, anything else to add on before we wrap up this Philadelphia Union versus America recap?
Not fun, really.
Not much. Yeah, all right, I agree with you. All right, then. Well, let's move on right away into... Well, this is tricky. We could do co-op. Well, I'll do co-op on news after the Atlas recap game, because I feel like there is still a lot of stuff that developed today, just in general. Today in general was a very busy day for America, which, by the way, if you guys haven't done so already, you guys go check out our Twitter. We kept you guys up to date with all things going on in and around the world of Las Águilas del América. But let's talk America versus Atlas, seeing as how this game was played just, you know, 24 hours ago, a little bit more than 24 hours ago. America ended up going and, you know, going up against Atlas in what was Atlas's anniversary, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And America was able to spoil the party and walk away with 3 points in the Estadio Jalisco. Again, this wasn't the most prettiest of matches. And Ivan, funny enough, this game actually comes to life once America gets a red card. So once Aguilera sees red, America actually comes to life. We see a much better America side, not just going forward, but also defending. And funny enough, Chris was saying this on Twitter. He's like, you know, why is it that we need Emmanuel Aguilera other than taking penalties, if that's going to be the case? I don't know. What were your thoughts? What were your takeaways? You know, America definitely did not have the best of first half, but looks like things picked up in the second.
I mean, I think, you know, you lose Aguilera in the back, and I think you're forced to change your shape. And I think that the shape that America went to was just more dynamic, more explosive. It kind of catered to the your explosive wingers. You have Lainez on one wing, you have Cordova kind of cutting into the inside, but also like on the other wing. And I think that just it was like there was something that sparked them. And I think that that's what it was, the change in shape, you know, pushing the ball forward, kind of, you know, playing back every, you know, so often. And I felt that that was kind of what it was. And not to mention, I think Pedro Aquino had a fantastic game. You know, kind of playing line breaking passes, getting forward, getting in the box, as you see there, looking on goal. And I think that, you know, when you have your center midfielder pushing the ball forward, you know, being aggressive, looking to, you know, shoot or whatever, or distribute, I think that makes it more fun for everybody to play. You know, it opens up your wings. And as you can see here on the fast break, I mean, this is a textbook fast break for me. And, you know, composed finish. And I think, yeah, that's what it was. A little upsetting indeed that you're going to have to, you had to wait for the red card for that, kind of like the floodgates to open, if you will.
Yeah.
But overall, I was content that, you know, red card, and instead of, you know, getting another red or getting another yellow, you know, couple yellows or whatever usually comes after that, that it, they were poised enough to pull the game out. Because yeah, I think, you know, not to be disrespectful, but I think it could have been, you know, could have been 2-3, you know, 4-0.
Oh yeah, easily for America. This they could have closed the game out after scoring the first goal. Which, by the way, they could have scored way even before that. Chavarria is having himself a great opportunity right in front of goal, but some reason shanks it, right? The one player that has been consistent in front of goal for us, being our left back, for some reason shows his left back traits right there in front of goal and completely skyrockets an opportunity. But like you mentioned, right, I think America looked very much sharper after the red card. You saw, you know, plays that you would have intended to see in the first half, right? A lot more, you know, vertical passing, a lot more splitting the lines and seeing a little bit more of daring attacking positions from players that you want them to see. And right, and the player that was very much heavily criticized by the Americanismo this season so far was Pedro Aquino, and it was good to see him perform the way that he did in this game. I don't know if it was because he got his head opened a little bit by Cáceres and maybe that helped out, but you know, he was wearing the do-rag and or the cap, you know, the water polo cap.
Like the Speedo shower cap.
Yeah, but he completely just unleashed his game, was holding things down in the midfield. And I think because of him, America were so much more able to let loose in front of goal whenever we do go down a man, because Pedro Aquino says, you know what, it's fine. Even though we do have our two center backs here, I'm going to continue to hold and try to give you guys as much depth in the midfield, so that way Richard can have a little bit more of an explosiveness or more liberty to go forward. So, like you mentioned, I think America did well. Hands off to Solari. I think his substitutions were on point. Even when he brings in the likes of Richard, the likes of Roger, and he takes out Linus and Fidalgo and Henry, you know, you think like, oh, Linus was our best player against Philadelphia. Why are you taking him out, right? So explosive down the wings. But I think he got it on spot on. He saw that this team needed a little bit of a refresher, and it came to fruition, really. It really panned out to exactly what he wanted them to do. And even when we get the red card, we see Jordan Silva right away coming in. And he, you know, he reorganizes himself and says, okay, we're going to play the same shape, except, you know, Pedro Aquino is going to hold a little bit more. Richard's going to have a little bit more liberty going forward. We're not going to have a cam, quote unquote, but we're going to give Cordoba the liberty to roam around. And you just saw that it panned out. It gave, you know, a very good dynamic to America going forward. And even in defense, I think Bruno Valdez coming in the second half, right, because of Acasa's injury, looked the most solid I've ever seen him since his return of the injury. So, I mean, AJ, any takeaways from this? I know you were a bit stuck in traffic and weren't able to catch this game, quote unquote, live. But any takeaways from this, or are you the same with AP Jr. saying, "I'm just proud that the fact that all the players that were there were registered."
Let's go. We didn't, nosotros no pedimos por el foul or whatever the case may be. But yeah, no, pretty good to see. Just it definitely could have been more than just one goal. We've had our chances. Just the luck wasn't just on our side that day. But it is what it is. The one thing that did Amy, just I don't understand how Royer failed that penalty. That's a pain. But
okay, yes, but. Quick credit to Camilo Vargas for that save, because he does something that you hardly ever see. He dives and fully commits, but he sees that the ball is about to go under him. And I don't know how he does it, but he gets a hand out. Hey. And it is super impressive. And every time I watch it, I'm just at awe. I'm just like, that is difficult to do. And props to him for pulling out that save. But no, hey. Yeah, Roger should have put it away.
Hey, that's Pepenador Torres for you. He won a title with Club de Cuervos, made his way to Atlas, so you know they knew what they knew what they were getting in him. But
yeah, no.
But yeah, no. All in all, hey, still undefeated. It wasn't the prettiest of wins, but hey, it is what it is.
It definitely wasn't, right? A tale of two halves that continues to be kind of the narrative for America this whole season and, you know, the majority of last. But I think, like we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, results is definitely what we aim for, at least at the beginning of the season. You want to get and secure the 3 points in a game where you're expected to get all 3 points. Now, not to say that Atlas was going to be an easy task whatsoever. They were coming into this one pretty solid. No goals have been allowed before America stepped onto that pitch, and they were the same as us, 2 wins, 1 draw. And so they were looking just as solid as we were, and I like it, you know? I like the fact that Soler was able to come into this game and say, you know what, let's get the result. And we definitely did. So, I mean, Dylan saying results over playing beautiful football. Your argument on that, Ivan?
I mean, define beautiful, I think I'd say. But, okay, results for sure. The result is the most important thing. But I think that you also want to see, like, fluidity that you build on. You know, so, for example, like, I'm looking at the substitutions. You know, all 5 used before the 60th minute. Like, how much of that is finding, how much of that is adjusting to the red card? How much of that is finding the correct personnel? How much of that is, you know, playing to your opponent? You know, and I don't know, like, the tail two halves scenario, I don't know how much of that is Solari still trying to kind of figure it out for this current Apertura, which is fine. You know, it's you're only so many games into the season, 4, if I'm not mistaken. But again, yeah, I would like to see a solid kind of like start to finish, play the full 90, look, you know, like you're going to, you know, just do it the whole time type of thing, yeah. Versus kind of like, we squeezed by, but we could have had more, you know, because they could have had more. Story gets old really quick. You know, yeah. If it was 0-0, we wouldn't be here being like, ah, we got the result. You'd be pissed. You'd be like, but we had so many chances in front of goal, but we missed the penalty. You know, that would be like what we're saying. And I think that, you know, is, again, just that one main goal away from that. And for me, that's why I think that when you have those opportunities, I'm less forgiving with, we won 1-0 or we won 2-0. Okay, no, if you had the chances, and I don't want to be like the cliche Americanista, like, you know, quiero ganar 3-0 todos los partidos, every game, you know, blow them out. But I'm just saying, if you create the chances, you're only as good as how many you finish. And that's kind of, I think, my perspective. So to Dylan, sure, results were beautiful football, but I mean, I want to see some, you know, fluid play here that I'll have to worry about it, you know, week 12.
I agree with you. I agree with you. But I think this is definitely always going to be a slow buildup for Solari because of everything, because you're missing 4 players because of the Olympics, because of your, you know, injuries, and because of the fact that your board is a little bit incompetent and is unable to get you the transfer that you want, right? So it's always going to be a little slow of a build until Solari can definitely find which piece fits more better in what position. And I will say this, though. We were never going to get it in this game because we had played 2 days prior to that, right? Thursday flew out Saturday, so not a lot
definitely.
Of rest.
And I was going to say, I mean, if you look at the people that play first in Philadelphia and then Atlas, we have pretty good depth, I'd say. And it's just a matter of kind of finding, like, you know, again, like Solari figuring out like what sub for who at what point, you know. And again, like I look at when the subs were made, you know, 54th, 53rd, halftime, and I kind of wonder, you know, just kind of what the thought process was for Solari.
No, I agree with you. And we'll see if maybe you guys agree with Chris here saying this America squad is overachieving for the talent we have, in my opinion. Ningún extranjero que tenemos pesa en la cancha. The ones that do is our own Mexican talent. Strong words from Chris. And I don't think he's necessarily wrong. I don't think you see a lot of foreigners, at least right now on this America side, that are pulling the weight that a Mexican player isn't. For example, I think, like you mentioned, the only one that actually maybe pulls in a pretty big shift out of the foreigners is Pedro Aquino, right? Who undoubtedly has the most responsibility in that team because he's wearing not only that number 5 of Guido Rodriguez, but he's put in a position where Solari demands a lot from him tactically, right? He needs to be a very organized player, and I think he played it out to a T. Bruno maybe is the other exception after that, but you know, Roger came into this one a little bit slow and still isn't hitting his heights, misses the penalty.
Which is a shame because I thought versus Philadelphia, he played well. I feel like, you know, he got into the spaces, you know, he drove the defenders. He did all the dirty work in versus the game in Philadelphia, you know, and to kind of then see him fall flat the next game was kind of like, oh, come on, guy.
Exactly. And you know, which I don't know, maybe he wasn't wearing the same, you know, blue paint tape that he was wearing against Philadelphia.
Dude, that painter's tape, I'm sorry, man. I was like, this guy's wearing painter's tape, not Kate Kinesi tape, man. What's going on? Like, his eyes are going to fall out of his head or something, man. Like, tape the guy up.
Tape him up. And they probably didn't tape him good enough for this game. But look, this one was always going to be a difficult one in regards to how we played because, like I mentioned, Atlas was doing good. Like, defensively, they were very much, you know, compact. They knew what they were doing. This game was very much stop and go for a good majority of the game, of the match. A lot of fouls in between. Atlas's mentality was, let's disrupt their game as much as possible and let's try to get them with our speed, which almost paid dividends a couple of times, especially early on in the game. But again, right, America getting that fortune, getting a little bit of luck that, you know, that the other team just doesn't capitalize on it, and we're then just able to do our thing. So, I mean, kudos to this side for getting the 3 points, right? It's never easy going to the Jalisco, especially after, you know, playing 2-3 days prior to that. And so now it's going to be even more difficult that the players haven't even gone home yet. They're going to fly out to Juarez and then they're going to go train. And it's a big mess right now with the doble jornada. But kudos to America for getting the 3 points. And so far, so good. And hopefully, you know, the team can continue on good form. And like you mentioned, AJ, still undefeated, quote unquote, and we ended the jornada as top of the table. But again, I remind everyone that it is only the fourth game and that we are nowhere near the middle of the season where you should start paying attention to that table. So again, give it another 4 games, then look at the table, then look where we are, then look at exactly how we're playing. Then we can make a pretty much fair assessment as to how things will end up looking for America towards the latter half of the season. But so far, promising, and again, unfortunately, these players don't get much of a break, and now they got to go back at it again against Juarez on Wednesday, which, again, will be an interesting dilemma. But as far as this game goes, anything else that you guys want to talk about, anything that a player stood out, there is one thing I do want to mention, Cordoba, with that number 10, I think he was the best player on the pitch, and me saying that about Cordoba is a big deal, and anyone who knows that should understand that this
I'm gonna take the Ivan deal. And also say this, Ivan also feels that, yeah, I feel the same way you do about him.
Yeah, and I was shocked,
but he was great. I don't know, la camisa en America le ha pesado. It's been like, it's just like, yo, guy, like, I mean, you saw what he did at the Olympics, and I thought, okay, great. Then he's going to come to America and, like, miss a sitter every week. But then he did this, and I was like, okay, my bad.
Now I'm not going to say, you know, he was quiet in the first half, but relatively everyone was. But he stepped up. I don't know. I think the substitutions helped, and it freed him up a little bit more. Or maybe the Atlas player were just more tired at that point. But he came in, stepped in, did his job, and as our new number 10, scores the winning goal.
So my question to you is this.
Uh-huh.
Is your Sebastian Cordoba jersey on the way?
No. No. I need more than just one good game against Atlas. Right, let's be honest.
Fair enough.
All right? It takes AJ like 25 minutes to decide as to whether or not he's going to get the player's jersey. It takes me a little bit more. All right. but for you, AJ, I mean, seeing how Cordoba balled out in this game, seeing him with the number 10 jersey, how do you feel?
Really excited for him. Seems like what he did in Tokyo was just maybe only the very beginning for what more Cordoba can do this season for America and for future seasons. You can't wait to see, especially with the number that he has now, carries a lot of weight. A former America legend played with that number, so Cordoba, he's got to be doing the exact same thing. Who knows, replicate what that legend did at America. So can't wait to see what else Cordoba does. Who knows, maybe get that elusive move to Europe at some point as well.
Which, by the way, it's going to be curious, this next question that I ask you guys, but to you guys, who is the greatest number 10 in America history? Because it feels like the easy answer would be Cuauhtémoc Blanco.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any other 10 that deserves the right to fight for that title?
In my
Definitely
opinion,
not in recent years.
In my opinion, no.
I like it.
AJ? In my opinion, no. And it's not to mention there are other notable, you know, personalities.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No.
I just feel like, yeah, there's something about that number that's always going to be Cuauhtémoc Blanco's.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is not knocking off Córdoba, whatever. I mean, right, he's got a bunch more years ahead of him to kind of show us wrong. But it's even before Cuauhtémoc Blanco, I can't remember a 10 where you're just like, yeah, this is, he not only represented what the number meant, but he represented the institution as well. Right. And I think those are two things that you just can't really balance.
But but on top of that, he was innovative. Like, he was an innovative player. It was just, you know, he picked your pockets in a way that no other player could as a 10.
And he's from Tepito, so yeah, I can imagine.
Exactly. You know, like, literally picked your pockets.
Oh, no, man. But, you know, well,
I personally have dreams of going there one day, so.
Okay. Yeah. You just got to go with empty pockets, my guy.
Yeah, I know.
But looks like we got a couple of people agreeing with you. AP Jr. saying Cuauhtémoc Blanco will forever be number 10. Chris saying Córdoba already a better 10 than Cecilio Domínguez ever was. And I think that's true. Again, that number's been thrown around a little bit. And so let's just hope Córdoba does it right. You know, it deserves a little
bit. No, I mean, I mean, despite, you know, we've had conversations about this both, you know, on here and off of here. And I think that to me, Córdoba's always been a player that's very, like, he's playing based on how his confidence is. You know, when his head's in the ruts, he's playing crappy. When he's, like, feeling great about himself, he's, like, playing beautifully. And, you know, if the jersey was kind of weighing on him before, like, now with a number 10, I don't know, maybe there's a sense of pride or sense of, like, he maybe feels like there's belief in him or something, and that's kind of going to trigger a different, you know, hustle, a different energy from the kid. And don't get me wrong, like, I wish him all the best. He's obviously on the team. I'm going to support him. But I just, because some consistency would be great.
Thank you.
You know, like I a banger every 8 weeks is cool, but you know, how about every 3 weeks?
Yeah,
every 3 weeks. Know, or don't even score bangers. How about you just put, you know, put away 12
tap-ins or something,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, tap-ins, bro.
You know, tap them in, but just like, you know, be in the right place at the right time. That's a skill too, you know? Like just put them away and I'd be happy with that, you know?
Definitely. I'm obviously on the same boat in this one. For Córdoba has always been, the key word has always been consistency, right? And I think this might be the year where he shows that more. And maybe, like AJ said, Tokyo was exactly what he needed. And so we'll have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, consistency from Córdoba. You know, let's see what we're talking about a week from now. Because
I was
going
to say, though, I feel like every torneo, where this is what we're saying, you know, the first 3 weeks, like, and then maybe this is his breakout. And then, you know, but now with the number 10, let's truly hope that this is it right here.
No, yeah, I agree. Let's hope that's the case. And I mean, yeah, he's always going to be the highlight of this one. And America walks away with all 3 points from the Estadio Jalisco. And again, we sit at the top of the table, but still too early to tell where things are going to pan out for America, but so far in the right direction. And AJ, you mentioned it, still undefeated as the season progresses for Solari. And let's hope it continues to stay that way. Anything else, AJ, before we wrap it up here?
Every time I hear Córdoba, I just think of that one time you said in the podcast that it's about Stan Córdoba is what we think of Mason Greenwood. If forever will stick in my mind, and when Christian turned around, he's like, "You not just say that. Maybe, who knows? Maybe in this season, it just happens."
Hey, I'm just saying, Mason Greenwood had himself.
Maybe Mason Greenwood has a breakout season this year too.
Hey, I would argue Mason's been a little bit more consistent. Hey, you know, I'm just saying. By the way, I just want to give a huge shout out to Mr. Craig Harrington, who is out here on Twitter liking AJ's tweets. So,
hey,
capturing the Lady Aguilas' head manager's attention on Twitter. But
I'm doing something right.
Like we mentioned, Córdoba, fingers crossed, we get that consistency. But all right, gentlemen, let's move on into the next segment. But before we do, I just want to remind everyone that today's episode is brought to you guys by FootCult. And if you guys haven't done so already, make sure you guys check out FootCult.com. They got some amazing gear, some amazing product. And we promise that you guys are going to be seeing a lot more FootCult/Eagle Eye podcast collaborations for this upcoming season. We're working on some stuff. And like I mentioned, some pretty good stuff. And before you wait for that, make sure you guys go check out some of the stuff that they have already. Really, really good work from them. And again, you guys can get 10% off by using the discount code EEP at checkout. Again, discount code EEP at checkout to get 10% off. Thank you to Footcult for sponsoring today's episode. All right, gentlemen, before we talk about these next upcoming matches, let's talk a little bit about the news going on in and around the world of Coapa, because it's been quite the busy week for America. Let's start off with Federico Viñas here, as we had a question from Luis G saying, is Viñas really injured or is it all just an excuse? And I think at this point, it's hard to really weigh out what Solari has said, right? Saying that he is injured. He's had a bit of a, you know, nagging injury. And because of that, they haven't really tried to force him back. You know, he's not really training with the first team. A lot of fishy, suspicious stuff going on. A lot of people speculating that there's some, you know, transfer stuff going on and happening. I want to lean on more on the Solari side and say that, you know, he is kind of saving him. He talked very highly of Viña, saying that, of course, you know, what manager wouldn't want to talk highly of his players, but you know, he's saying Viña is an essential piece to this America puzzle, and that he's a very, you know, valuable player. I, on one hand, do think that this is just all smoke in regards to him leaving. I don't know. What do you think, AJ?
I just wouldn't. I can't just imagine to see a player like Viñas, who we picked up, seeing him as the next one to get it, just send them just one day. Yeah, he's gone from America. I just don't think Solari would be one to do that to his players, as you mentioned before. Speaks high of regard of the player that he have on every single player in this squad. He has every player in this squad has a key role to the team, regardless of what their position is on the team. So, but to just with Viñas, it's tough because he's been doing, while he might be inconsistent times, but he just hasn't been having the grace of times on the pitch. But just really, I would like for him to stay in an America jersey and to continue doing great things for us, scoring goals and just providing to be a very key player for Solari's side.
No, yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, he is an important player, and Solari came out and said it. And one thing that, you know, Chris says here, you know, it always seems that every week he's quote-unquote ready, but when the game comes around, he's still not 100%, right? And I think that's something that Solari definitely talked about, saying that, look, we're not going to risk him for Philadelphia. You know, we're fingers crossed that he has, you know, all the green light from the medical staff to play against Atlas. If he does, we'll feature him on the bench. If he doesn't, we're not going to risk him for any reason whatsoever. And again, it's an interesting thing. It's a developing thing. And really, we won't truly know the true nature of it until Solari or Viñas or the team comes out and says anything. So, again, just have to put it on pause. We're all just kind of in speculation mode. But I don't know. What do you think is going to happen here, Ivan?
I mean, it's interesting. You know, you add Viñas to the equation. And again, you kind of look at the depth that we really have with attacking players, with players that can skate on the ball, can score, you know, all that type of stuff. So, you know, I could see, you know, if it is an injury, I could understand that I wanted to rush him back, because, you know, we do have players that we can go to, players we can turn to, players that can, you know, put the ball in the net without him, without his presence. If it is transfer related, I personally don't understand why that becomes like bad habit, or like it turns, you know, it's portrayed as bad blood. But it's really just kind of, I feel like a bad, I don't know, like PR type of thing. Like where like the club, you know, coach, manager says nothing's wrong, praises the player, but won't play him. And he's like hurt. And then next thing you know, like transferred out. I don't understand, why can't we just be honest? You know, like you look at, for example, like not related, but another example, like the whole like Harry Kane situation, right? In Premier League, right? Like, oh, he came, Nuno said he came to camp late. So he's just, you know, taking his time. But then like everyone knows that City's putting a bid for him. So it's like, I get it. When players are going to get transferred, they don't play because they're on their way out. But then say that, you know, or I don't know. I always dislike how that gets done. I guess it's just business aspect that I don't like. But personally, like AJ said, I hope he's not on his way out. I think that he adds a spark to our, and adds depth. You know, like you have Rodri, you have Martin, you have Viñas. And I think that, you know, they each add their own kind of special spice to the mix when they're on the field. And I would hate to see him go. I think he's a great guy. I think his age is reasonably about to hit his prime, and I would love to see him do with us.
Yeah, no. Ideally, he's the one you want to keep because of, you know, the age and all that stuff. And from what he's shown, right? He understands the club. He really likes it. And so, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, it is just this nagging injury and we'll have him back hopefully by next week. Because, you know, these next two upcoming games is where you would imagine Avinas fits in perfectly because of the rotations that have to be made. So, again, we'll have to wait and see, fingers crossed. But hopefully, America gets the job done in, you know, fixing him up if it is that he is injured. But let's move on into another bit of news. Leo Suarez, like I mentioned earlier, will be out for the remainder of the season. Looks like he's been playing with a bit of an ankle injury that he's been kind of lingering on in regards to, you know, quote-unquote fixing. Looks like he's going to have surgery. Well, he did have surgery in Guadalajara, and he will be out for the remainder of the season. Because of that, he can be dropped from registration, meaning now America has one spot open for a foreigner to come in. Now, don't get your hopes up. That doesn't mean that America is going to go out there and buy a winger like we all want them to do. It only means that potentially a certain player of Renato Ibarra could potentially be coming on as an America player. Finally, a lot of speculation on this as to whether or not it is officially going to happen, but, you know, Ibarra has been seen wearing the number 30 jersey, well, gear, not jersey, but the number 30 gear in practice, where previously he wasn't, and we'll see. But it all signs point to Renato Ibarra potentially playing under Solari and finally wearing an America jersey again. This is huge news for America, for the club, for everything that's going on in and around this player. A lot of people, you know, saying good. A lot of people not liking this. Some people falling straight down the middle. A question as to where do you guys land on this situation with Renato Ibarra? You know, does he fix our winger problem? You know, he will add depth, but is he the solution to our prayers in regards to that wing play that we also desire?
You want to go?
Any one of
you? Go for it, AJ. I'm gonna let you go first, man.
The thing is, under Pio Herrera, he was always the guy who was like, we pass the ball, he runs down the wings, he'll try to cross it. The thing is, is Solari really going to be the one to be having Renato Ibarra do that when we know where possess the side? We like to play through the midfield and maybe get to the wings or so. But I don't know. I mean, hey, he did want to register a player. It's Renato Ibarra. It's a familiar face in America. The thing is, he's going to be under a completely different system, under a completely different manager. So, I mean, I'm down for it. Just, I don't know. Like, as you mentioned, will he solve the right midfielder issues we have? I mean, hey, it's an upgrade over Suarez. I think anyone at this point can say anyone's an upgrade over Leo Suarez.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair argument to be made, Ivan.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was going to make the exact same point that AJ made. Like, it's a different system. So I'd be curious to see how he fits in. You know, because, I mean, yeah, losing Leo Suarez, personally, I kind of like the kid. I don't think I'm not, like, indifferent. I think that he adds, I think he, you know, he can add some explosiveness. I think that he goes forward well. I think he connects with the number 9 well. Renato Ibarra, I think, is just kind of, like, has this, like, dark cloud looming over him. And that's maybe, I think, why everyone's kind of like hesitant, like, oh, you know, like, you know, second spell. Like, is that what we're going to do right now? Is that, you know, maybe some view it as desperation. I don't know. But I think that if he can come in, adapt, and learn the system that we're trying to play, and you know, I mean, again, just adds to the depth in my opinion. I don't think he would be a starter in my book, looking at the other players that we have. But I'd be curious to see how he fits into Solari's system. You know, I think that again, when you have these, you're gonna have people out for the national team or with qualifiers. You're gonna have, you know, just the fixtures are pretty compacted these days. So yeah, for rotation, I think he'd be a good option.
Interesting to see how, you know, not only the fans, but the team kind of receive this kind of incorporation will be an interesting thing.
That's another thing. Locker room is a big deal, right? So like, how's he going to fit in?
No, yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, he's been partners with most of the team right there. A lot of them know him, and you know, he's been at the institution for a little bit already, and I'm sure Solari's talked to him already. So we'll have to wait and see. Again, nothing is official yet, but we do know Leo Suarez will be a drop. Who comes in? That's the real question. Again, don't get your hopes up. Don't think we're gonna be bringing in, you know,
bring his nephew in. We bring Augusto Solani. We bring him in.
Oh God, no, no.
Hey, swap deal.
You know, we've said that under Solari, players tend to, you know, shine a little bit more. And I've been seeing this a lot on Twitter, but they're saying that Renato under Solari is going to be Sadio Mane. I don't believe it, but I would like, you know, I'd definitely love to see something like that.
Why don't you believe it, though? Like, you know, like, again, like, why do you feel like that's not something that Solari could bring out of him?
Oh, my Lord, imagine that. Oh,
I don't know. I just think...
That's what I'm saying. It's just like a dark cloud. It's like his name is
Yeah, plagued. That's the like, thing. You know, and like, I don't think his last spell went so well for him.
Yeah, and it's like I think I saw something on ESPN Deportes, or like a percentage of how much his value like went down since he left America, and it was like 47% or something. And I was just like, dang, like who made that up? That's like, I mean, sure, you know, players have bad spells, and I mean, I don't know, but I think that's what it is. He just had a bad time, and the way he left wasn't the greatest. And so you think about the name, and you don't think of like happy memories, you know? Like you think like, oh, okay, we'll see how it goes.
Definitely. I mean, we'll definitely see how things go. But you know, let's cover a little bit more bit of news here as regards to the transfer rumor mill. As Chris is saying, don't forget about the Jurgen Damm and Nico Castillo news. So look, there was this, and you know. Shout out to John Sosclefe, who kind of broke the news on this one, saying that, you know, America was in talks with Atlanta United to potentially have a swap deal for Nico Castillo to come in and Jurgen Damm to go and join Las Águilas del América. Things didn't pan out. It didn't work out. John came out and said that, you know, throwing a bit shade to Jurgen Damm, saying that he didn't want to come to America, where Jurgen then responded on Twitter and said that that was not the case, that, you know, unfortunately things just didn't work out, but that he would have been more than, you know, happy to come play for America as a team that he respects and a team that he, you know, definitely has high, you know, like I mentioned, respects for them, seeing as how they're one of the biggest clubs, but in reality we are the biggest club in Mexico. And so that didn't pan out, right? Jurgen Damm potentially could have came to America, which I don't know how, I don't know if we end up winning in the deal or losing or just completely break even. I have no idea how that would have worked out if it actually went through.
I just have to crack another joke. I'm so sorry for, there's times I'm like, I need to crack a joke. Yeah, it's Mexican Gareth Bale. Yeah, he'll totally, you know, bring life to this America squad. All that pace down the right-hand side would be lovely.
We already have pace with Linus.
More pace. You can never go wrong more pace. Never.
You got to let go of that R2 button, my friend. You got to. There's FIFA other 13. Ways to play the game.
FIFA 13, that's all it was. So, you know
it. You say FIFA 13?
Jesus. FIFA 13 is all about pace.
It's talking about 8 years ago. 9, practically, with the new one coming out. But, again, could have helped potentially with the depth chart, right? That's really the reality of it.
So. I mean, he would be another winger, like you're saying, we need because of injury. But I don't know what he adds. I mean, look at what he's done. I mean, when he left Tigres, it was like a big deal because he was doing well with Tigres, right? But then, like when he came to the national team, like he always fell flat for me. And then he goes to Atlanta United. I've watched an Atlanta United game here and there, which happens to be in the background or whatever. I don't think I've seen him on the bench even.
Yeah. He's been,
but he was flashing his Lambo or whatever, Ferrari or whatever, you know, a couple weeks in.
Yeah.
Like, all right, kid, let's see you do something first. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that's the last headline I saw of that kid, you know, his car situation. Yeah. So I don't know.
Again, I don't know how that would have ended for America, but I kind of am happy that it didn't go through, even though we still have Nico Castillo on the books. Let's see, what else do we have on here? Oh, last bit of news here. And, of course, the one confirmed news that we have right now for America is the fact that we have officially have signed Mario Osuna from Mazatlan. He's coming in, of course, to replace Santi Naveda for this injury. And he will be wearing number 12, if I'm not mistaken, AJ. Is that confirmed already?
I want to say that's confirmed. I would not know, but hey.
I saw something, again, take it with a grain of salt. I think he might be wearing the number 12 jersey, but he is coming in to replace Santi Naveda, and Santi Naveda officially has been dropped from the roster. 12. And you know, he's going to be coming in and hopefully potentially giving us a little bit more of that depth. I don't know. I've seen him play and he's okay. I mean, not a big wow in my factor. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it does mean that I am in the wrong when I said nothing was going to happen in this transfer window for America and that we were not going to sign anyone. I did not see this curveball of Naveda getting injury and now having to force a Mexican transfer. Yeah. So I guess I'm in the wrong in that one. But again, don't put your money on anything that we're going to bring in a foreigner, because we're not. I've said this time and time again, the team's got no money and that's what we got. The situation at hand. How do you guys feel about this? Potential squad filler signing.
I mean, 350 games under his belt. He's got experience in a lot of positions. Looking at here, he's played center, defensive mid, right back, center mid. He's even played up front at some point. But hey, he's had lots of experience in Liga MX. He did spend some time in the Ascenso with Atletico Morelia. But, you know, I'm not really too upset with the signing. Really, it's squad depth. He's just going to fit in right in there. It's like something like with Fernando Madrigal. Who knows? Maybe he might actually be not that bad of a signing as a Mega fans thought it'd be. But, I mean, considering his age as well, he is 32. He's on the...
Exactly.
But still, you never know. I mean, I'm down with the signing like this. Any signing that seems like an oddball, I'm like, I'm all... in it. I'm like that, maybe that 1%. I'm like, you know, let's give him a chance. You never know what they
can. No, AJ. Decide. No.
Okay.
Well, my question is this. What's his deal? How much is it, like, you know, because.
So he's just a filler, and I'll get that. I'll get the details right now. But,
you know, cause, I mean, so I first want to point out that his name is Mario Humberto Osuna Perez Nunez.
Yo. Okay.
I just want to point that out. I mean, he's versatile. He's a veteran player. He's 32 years old. He's, you know, done his thing. I mean, he could add experience. He could add, you know, again, squad rotation. That's kind of the way I see it. You know, he's not going to come get crazy minutes. He's probably playing at, you know, at 32, he finally made it to, you know, the biggest club in Mexico. Congratulations, brother. But, I mean, I don't think he's going to do much more than just kind of rotate some guys out, you know, last 15, last 20. And who knows? Maybe he'll you know, shine. I mean, he seems to be, based on what AJ said, I don't know much about him, but based on all the positions you listed, AJ, he seems to be like he's defensively pretty solid for him to be able to play in all those positions. I mean, you guys have heard all podcasts how I feel about making sure our defense is intact, so I'm for it. But again, I wouldn't expect to see him get many minutes.
Yeah, it's same. And
unless we have another energy.
Yeah. By the way, El Mono coming in will be wearing that number 12 jersey. I've just confirmed with that. I think that Futbolista, Sancon Pará. So they haven't really said what his contract situation is going to be like. I'm assuming that it's a one-year deal. Obviously, you don't sign this type of player for anything more than that. So
I would hope not. That'd be bad business.
We have
nine contracts
again,
here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at our board and how great they've done already with other signings. But again, yeah, he's coming in. My only issue is was there not a youth player that could step up?
Yeah, then there's that. Like, where's our cantera? You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to agree with that. I mean, we don't have to try and be Pumas that are just kind of like forcing it. But I don't know. I agree. I don't know. I think, like, if all you're doing is putting a body on the roster to fill, you know, like you said, filler, yeah, you definitely could have gave some kid a chance.
But, I mean, again, we digress. But that is the situation that we have, and, well, you know, we'll see what happens. Again, that is pretty much all the news in and around Coapa. Again, there's a lot to process, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more before the transfer window ends. Again, keep it here with us at the Eagle Eye Podcast, and we'll keep you guys covered with all things Las Águilas del América over on Twitter, Instagram, and or Facebook. All right, gentlemen, let's talk these last two games and wrap it up, because I don't want to keep you guys here any longer, and I don't want to keep our listeners going for any much further either. Look, we have a little jornada. These things are never easy to talk about because there's two games that are going to be played, and one of them is a little bit easier to talk about than the other because we have a sense of how the team's coming into for the Juarez game. We don't have an idea of how things are going to go against Cholos, but we can only speculate for that game. But let's talk a little bit about Juarez. Mid-season game. Middle of the week game Wednesday night, America is going to be going and flying out to Ciudad Juarez, I believe, on Monday. Today is Monday. Where am I at? America's flying out tomorrow. They're going to be going out to Juarez. And we're going up against a Tuca Ferrati side that, AJ, correct me if I'm wrong, they've been doing okay.
I mean, if you're trying to point out one player in that asset that's doing okay, then yeah, he's doing just fine. The rest of the team, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. 15th place.
So yeah, maybe. Never mind. They are not one, in good
one
form.
One player is doing fine. Just one player. Everyone else, yeah, no, not so much.
So again, on paper, looks relatively easy, but we know that Ivan, whenever America tends to play against any team that is struggling, they, for some reason, want to put their best foot forward against us and make life difficult. This is a tough challenge for Cerati, if you're asking me, because, you know, this is a second, you know, away game in a row where you're not even talking a week in it. You know, we're talking days in between.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have to make some changes again, which again, like all these players we just discussed on the pod tonight, you know, they're all going to play a role in keeping the legs fresh and keeping everybody healthy. That has to be, I think, a priority at this point with so many players going down. You know, you want to remain healthy. So getting the minutes is going to be important. I mean, I'm sorry, when you get minutes, you have to perform. It's going to be important because you're going to get them at this point. In terms of Juarez, yeah, they're not doing the greatest, but again, it's only the fourth jornada. They do have Tuca, who we all know is a manager is capable of bringing the best out of his players, regardless of how he does it. And again, I don't know. Like, you know, when teams sit back and wait for America, like, are they going to do that with Tuca? That's not really his thing. But then, like, Juarez doesn't have the person not to really attack. Kind of like, yeah, I see, like, the, you know, like, the how's it going to go type of situation. But I think that's why America has to, you know, go in there, play their game, and look to get 3 points. And when you have chances, put them away.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, AJ, coming into this game, is the one thing we want to see from this side is, because we will create opportunities from the looks of it with the way Juarez has been playing, you got to be clinical, right? You got to put those chances away. And you're looking at your Rodgers, at your Henrys, who most likely will have an opportunity to put the ball in the back of the net. You want them to be, you know, cementing themselves in that striker role. And so I think it'll be important that America not only creates chances, but finishes them as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like, we have plenty of chances against Atlas that definitely could have been more than one goal. But now take that from what happened against Atlas and now put that against Juarez. Now, like you mentioned, be more clinical with your shots. You have those chances, make the most out of them. You never know if that's going to only be the only chance you'll have that entire game. Or you end up a similar situation, we just score one goal and that's it. You're thinking yourself, we definitely could have scored more against a side that's just been struggling. Even though it's the fourth or not, they've been struggling. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, and you know what? I think another thing that we have to keep an eye on here is the defense, right? Cáceres, we don't know necessarily if he's going to be fit or not. If he isn't, he most likely won't start. Emma Aguilera, of course, out because of the red card, meaning there's a potential possibility that Bruno and Jordan might be the center-back partnership, which I think scares a lot of people after I just said that out loud. And rightfully so, because they haven't been the sharpest defenders that we've had. And, you know, asking for a clean sheet might be a little bit difficult in this game, but it's not to say that it's impossible. But again, Ivan, you've mentioned this, right? Against Philadelphia Union, there was mistakes from the back line, not just the center backs, but the back line in general that we want to see get cleaned up. And so this is a game to potentially start building on that, right? Whether Miguel Ayun starts or whether it's, you know, Jorge Sanchez on that right-hand side. Or who knows? It might be Miguel Ayun on the left-hand side, or it might be George on the left-hand side and Miguel Ayun on the other one. It, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
I was going to say, like, Ayun, we all know, can play on both sides. That's personally why I've always liked that guy. Granted, he's back, you know, kind of been there, done that, seen the world, came back, and he's a little older. But, I mean, he brings wisdom, and I think that one thing he will bring is leadership if he's back there. And I think that that's something that every backline needs. I mean, look at Juarez and the results. They're not doing too hot. They have two draws and two losses, but they're scoring in almost all of their games. So it's not like they're not finding the back of the net. So I think it goes back to what we're all saying. You know, if you have a chance, you got to put it away, because the defense is going to slip up. And if they are going to punish you, you know, you're going to find yourself in a 1-1 situation. And then Juarez is going to park the bus. And then, okay, now you got to find a way to break that up, you know, and that's going to end up in a draw. And we don't want that. I think that we're at a point where, again, yeah, sure, it's early, but you don't want to find yourself in a situation where, you know, you're scraping by results against these teams that are in the, you know, out of, you know, Liga position. You just don't want that, because that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the league. If you drop points to Juarez, then you can't afford to draw against a Cruz Azul or something later in the season.
Yeah, no, you can't. And like we mentioned, right, these are the more quote-unquote favorable games for America. These are when you start racking up the points. And again, it's always going to be a difficult ask, being away from home. And right, we don't, the competition is always a little bit more difficult whenever America does have to go on the road because of, you know, home advantage for the other team. But we're more than capable of getting 3 points. Squad depth, you know, I think we have more than Juarez. And on paper, you know, this has to be a three-pointer game. But here's my thing. What, you know, America's got to go out there and get the 3 points, and they don't have to go out there and feel like, because of the jersey I'm wearing, I automatically get the 3 points, right? We've seen that countless times with America, that they think that just because they are who they are, the goal will eventually come, that they don't really have to go and find it the way that they would if they had to play at Tigres or Monterrey. But that's not the case. You got to go out there, you got to earn it, you got to play for it, show something. And hopefully the team's able to walk out with the 3 points. Now, Christian's usually here to do the predicting starting 11, but since in his absence, I'm willing to give it a gander. And I'm going to go with Ochoa in net. We're going to have Jorge Sanchez on the right. In defense, I think Cáceres will be fine. We'll have Bruno Valdez and Sebastián Cáceres. Huh?
Cáceres is out for 2 weeks.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, you're right. I missed that. Never mind. So your center back partnership is going to be Bruno Valdez and Jordan Silva. Oh, and on the left-hand side, you're going to have Miguel Layún. I completely forgot we even tweeted that. In the midfield, you're going to have Pedro Aquino and Richard Sanchez. And on one side of the wings, you're going to have Cordoba on the right. Marolain is on the left. And then Alvaro Fidalgo in the cam spot, with up top being Roger Martinez. I think Henry sees the bench. Again, just for squad depth purposes. But hey, it's up for grabs, that starting 11 spot for the number 9. So we'll see. We'll definitely have to wait and see. But again, that Bruno and Jordan partnership, I think, is going to be the biggest worry, AJ.
Nah, Jordan Sells got Jordan in his name. We'll be fine.
Just because he's got Jordan, we'll be fine. Oh God. Oh God. Well, we'll have to wait.
Or it's gonna be spectacular, and we'll like never change it again. It'll just stay that all season.
Let's go.
One of the two, you know, like Gasolis lost his spot permanently to Jordan Silva. Who knows, man? It's like, I see it going either way. Like, it's either gonna be terrible, or it's gonna be like the best decision that Salah has made all season.
I mean, we'll see. We'll definitely see. All right, gentlemen, quick scoreline prediction for this one. What are you guys going with? Ivan, I'll go with you first.
This is for the Juarez game or the
Tijuana
game?
No, Juarez.
Juarez, let's go 2-0 America.
2-0 America. I like it. Bold. And that clean sheet, I like it. AJ?
2-0 as well.
2-0 as well. Am I the only one that fears this back line and says, you know what, we're walking away with a 2-1 victory? I'm going 2-1. Our beloved Cowboy is behind the scenes on this one, if you guys haven't done. He's very much a producer in this today's episode. So Dylan, can you just give me your prediction for this one as well? 2-0 America? Is that what you're going with? 2-0 America. All right. Well, everyone's going against me and saying Let's that go. We're not going to get a clean sheet. But you know what?
We all said
more
dub.
Than happy
we all said
to take
dub.
The L. Hey, look, a dub and a clean sheet, that is always my ideal preference. And if that is the case, then I like it. Chris also going with a 2-0 for America. Looks like everyone just wants America to walk away with a 2-0 victory, which I'm more than happy to oblige to. But it just seems a little bit difficult with this back line. But again, who knows? Like you mentioned, Jordan might have the game of his life. Scores 2 goals and saves 3, you know?
We'll gets a contract extension for 1 more year.
Yeah, pretty much. But that's pretty much Juarez. Now, look, this next game, I know it's just as difficult to predict because you don't know what's happened against Juarez. But it is a home game, and it is an opportunity to continue that good run of form at home against, you know, a side that, again, isn't really in the top positions as far as what I'm looking at. You know, let's look at where Cholos is at the moment, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, they are completely dead last. I knew that I had seen them at the bottom. I just didn't think that they were that far down. So again,
they only have one draw against Juarez. That's where they got their points.
Yeah. So I get another favorable.
But they have played Tigres, León, and Toluca. So you know, like their schedule's been a little like tougher than.
And they have to go up against us.
And now they have us.
But you know, it is difficult. The only thing I want to see from America in this game, you know, it's hard to predict the starting 11. You never know what's going to happen. But the one thing I do want to see is. This America side to continue to build on that Solari foundation, which is be possessive, have the ball, control it, be a lot more vertical with your passing, be a lot more dynamic with, you know, your movement in and around the pitch, and just continue to grow and establish that play. Because like you mentioned, Ivan, right, we want to see this America side, once you're in the Jornada 13, 14, have an identity, have a style that you're playing for, and that way, you get a much more well-rounded America, and you're not talking about a tale of two halves. You're talking about, you know, 65 minutes that, you know, America's looking concrete. So that's what I want to see from them against Cholos. Yeah, because I don't know. There's times where momentum shifts, right? That's kind of the general consensus of how the game works, right?
You want to see players deliver a full game, you know? I think that if you play 65 minutes, that's where you lose the game, you know? I don't know. For me personally, that's the wrong mentality. I get what you're saying, but for me, it's not the wrong mentality.
Okay. All right. But you know what? Okay. I agree with you. Looks like we've lost AG for a bit. AJ, are you back? He's back.
Hello?
He's in 420p. Oh, he's gone. Well, but either way, look, it's definitely way past his bedtime. I apologize for that, AJ. We want to see a much more well-rounded America side, right? Especially
absolutely.
So that's all we're really asking for, right? 3 points, much more well-rounded game. And because of that, let's hope that we do get that in the end.
I want to add, if I may, that I want to see Córdoba continue to enjoy playing at the Azteca. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
You're wearing the number 10, you're playing in the fortress, enjoy it, take advantage of it, like, really take it in, you know, and with that comes a great performance, and who better do it against than, not to belittle them, but, you know, a team that's not doing too hot, you know, that's your moment to shine, and I really want to see him seize that moment, even though I haven't been his biggest fan. You know, I want him to convince me.
Same. I mean, that's all I've been asking from him this whole time that he's ever stepped on the pitch for America. I'm like, I get it. This kid's got potential. He's got loads of talent. You just need to see that more consistency. And like you mentioned, right? What better way than to pick Tijuana apart? Ride that confidence, right? Juarez is going to be a little bit more of a different animal because it's an away game. And, you know, we'll see how they plant themselves. But I feel like at home, you know, your fans cheering you on, knowing that you're, like you mentioned, in the fortress that is the Azteca with that epic jersey that is the number 10. Go out there, pick them apart, have your fun.
Absolutely.
All righty then. Well, with that said, give me your prediction for the game against Cholos, which, by the way, is going to be a Sunday matchup. Again, that's another 3 p.m. Pacific, 5 Central, 8 Eastern Standard Time, live on TUDN. What's your prediction?
I will go a 2-0 again.
2-0 again. This one, I'm going to go a little bit more daring. I think for the first time, Solari's going to have a good major victory. I'm going with 3-0. 3-0 America. Let's see. What does AJ have to predict for us?
I'm going 2-0 again.
Oh, my God. What is with the 2-0, guys?
It's the new 3-0. It's the new 3-0 now. Because we're never
it's the more conservative
3-0. Exactly.
Well, look, I don't care. You know, as long as we get the 3 points, Dylan has given me his prediction. He's going with a 1-0 victory for America. Look, we're all predicting a clean sheet in this one, at least. That's all I really care about, right? Let's build up that confidence in the defense, which, again, might most likely be Bruno and Jordan, if Jordan has a game that we predict he's going to have against Juarez. But most likely might be Emmanuel Aguilera back. But we'll see. But America, Cholos should be an interesting one, regardless of how both teams are coming into the game on Sunday. It paints to be a good one, which is going to be the last game before the MLS All-Star game against Liga MX. So, should be an interesting way to see how some of our players are going to go. And, you know, we'll talk about that more next week, and we'll tell you guys as to who's going to the All-Star game in regards to our players, what we can expect, and all that fun stuff.
Which I just want to point out in regards to that real quick, you know, since MLS and Liga MX are so obsessed with making money from one another, or together, we could say, you would think that if they're going to add an extra game in the middle of the week, that they then, like, I don't know, figure out something with the schedule to not have them play, like, Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, you know, all for an exhibition game. That sounds like that's not what the players want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think, does MLS have doble jornada this week? No, huh?
Some of them do. Some of them do.
Some of them do?
The schedules, I don't know why the schedule always does this thing where, like, not all teams have a doble jornada. For example, LAFC had it, I think, the last time, and then not this time.
You're right. I'm looking at Wednesday, and a good chunk of them are having a game on Wednesday, and that's just it. Just Wednesday. Wow. Yeah,
it's just
looks
it's
to be bizarre. Mostly, like, you know, Eastern Conference, though.
Yeah, so it's like if you're gonna do that, by all means, like, you know, have the game, get, you know, have some fun, whatever, but then do something more to cater to the schedule where the players aren't, like, exhausted, you know, travel, you know, like,
yeah,
just travel alone is exhausting. So I don't know. I know a lot of people feel different about it. Some care about it, some don't, you know, teach their own. But I just think that, you know, if you're going to do that, you should be more mindful of it. And I don't know, like, don't have a doble jornada leading into that, or don't have, you know, a game, you know, games every 3 days.
But hey, I mean, they got to squeeze these in because they know that, you know, Fecha FIFA is coming up. I think that's why.
Yeah.
Which is a bad thing, right? Because the players are the ones who suffer at the end.
Absolutely.
And our work schedule, too, because sometimes you just got to, like, find a way to, like, how do I watch all these games at the same time?
Always find a way.
Always. Yeah, I mean, you always do, but, you know, it'd be nice not
need
to have
more
to
screens. You need more screens. The more games, more screens.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true. But all right, then, gentlemen, is there anything else to add on before we wrap up today's episode?
None. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate y'all.
Well, Ivan, thank you so much for coming on again. You know that you're more than welcome on here. You know, always love having you on, and can't wait to, you know, we'll have you again. And, you know, we'll be talking very closely as you and I will be, you know, in contact for the MLS All-Star game, which is going to be right, you know, in your backyard.
Absolutely. Come on down, AJ.
Hey.
Come on down, AJ. You know you're more than welcome, AJ.
I'd love to. On my way.
Just, you know, we'll meet you outside of LAX, not in LAX, because that's going to be a mess.
I always say you can dictate how much someone loves you, whether they'll pick you up from the airport or tell you to meet you outside of it.
It's true. It's true, AJ. Especially when it comes to LAX. I promise you. If you want to test someone's love, you just tell them, I'm flying into LAX. Can you pick me up? And they'll be like, you know, depending on the response, you'll know whether or not it's true love or not.
They'll be like, I got to pick my apple tree today. Sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So, but no, thank you again, Ivan, so much for coming on. AJ as well. Thank you so much. Dylan in the background, thank you for, you know, producing today's episode, giving us a big thumbs up. Thank you. And you guys have wonderful times. Stay safe. We'll be back next week to talk things all America. And this Thursday, excuse me, me and AJ will be recapping everything that was the Lady Aguilas as well. So make sure you guys tune in for that one. All right. You guys have a wonderful time. Stay safe. Wear your masks. And as always, arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.